Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. And if you've been listening, if you listened to the first hour, I want to say a special shout out and thanks to my good friend Bill Arnold, who steps in for me on occasion. And you're going to hear from him once in a while here because he's just helping to create some margin that I need right now. And I want to say thank you, Bill. We just love you and appreciate you so much. Well, if you listen often enough, you know that I ask questions, thought-provoking questions. Sometimes these questions mess with you a little bit, but it really is for the purpose to get you thinking, to get you maybe looking at life from a fresh angle, and then to prayerfully consider where this conversation will take us so that we can all leave the conversation more equipped in the things of God, more ready, you know, to embrace a redemptive perspective. We can get so set in our ways. So here is my question. Now, this question may seem to call for an obvious answer, but I want you to think deeply before you answer yourself in the car or wherever you're listening from. Are you ready? Here it is. When you think of ISIS, what comes to mind? When you think of ISIS, what comes to mind? Is it fear, dread, anger? How about prayerful intercession? You know, it seems impossible to turn on the news without hearing of some of the new atrocities committed by ISIS and other Islamic extremist organizations around the world. We're often left wondering, what can we do in the face of such evil? Well, Lorraine Marie Varela has written a book called Love in the Face of ISIS. She'll be joining us to talk about the spirit behind ISIS, as well as outline 7 specific prayer strategies to affect real change in the Middle East. And I really believe as we affect real change in the Middle East, it'll affect real change here in the U.S. It will, because when we pray, we are changed from glory to glory. We're strengthened and humbled in how we show up in our everyday life when we're praying and engaging in the greater kingdom story. It affects things here. We've got to do this. This is our day to be praying for our nation, praying for the Middle East, praying for God's purposes to be served on the earth. I'm so excited for you to meet Lorraine and hear about her book, Love in the Face of ISIS. I want you to know we've got 5 copies. She just intersperses stories of Muslims who come to Christ and or Christians who've endured persecution, but how they hung on to Jesus. And then she gives you these prayer strategies. 5 copies of this great book. I'm going to just tell you right out from the outset. You know how to do this. If you listen often enough, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. But our little tag is going to be different just for the sake of filing purposes. Instead of putting the title in the subject line, put your first or first and last name. Just all right. So Susie@myfaithradio.com, Jim Jones, maybe that's your name, I don't know, and put your mailing address, and then your name will go in a drawing. 5 of you will get a copy of this great book. Before I get Lorraine on, I got a couple of quick announcements. First of all, I want to welcome our friends listening in on 92.7 FM in Waterloo. So awesome to have an FM translator there. If you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, we'd love to get you a listener packet. You can sign up for free on our website, myfaithradio.com. Also, something I'm extremely excited about, you'll hear more about this, I believe, tomorrow, we are partnering with Venture Expeditions and International Justice Mission. You know IJM is very, very close to my heart. We're merging our Faith and Fitness Challenge with an initiative to raise money to abolish human trafficking. So this is how it is. We have a page on our homepage, a landing page, where you will find information in literally 3 to 5 minutes. You can have your own fundraising page built. It's super simple. You get your picture, just what you're going to do, your goal for walking, running, or biking in the month of August. We need you to do it in July, though, and just set a goal of what you hope to accomplish fitness-wise in August, the kind of money you hope to raise. Our goal at Faith Radio is to raise over $50,000 to rescue lives. All that information is up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Super excited about that. My goal is to ride 200 miles in August on my bike. All right, on your mark, get, set, go. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Lorraine Marie Varela is a professional photographer and the author of Powerful Moments in the Presence of God. She lives near Seattle, where she and her husband, Gabriel, lead a Foursquare Messianic congregation. You can find her information up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Lorraine, finally we get to meet. So nice to meet you.
Susie, it's such a joy to be on your show, and thank you so much for having me today.
Looking forward to this conversation, Lorraine. And yeah. We love to start out talking scripture, and you came armed with a great passage, John 14:6.
Yes.
Jesus told him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Talk about that passage and why you chose it.
The passage is so significant to me because on November 2000, the election night of George Bush and Al Gore, God gave me that verse in a dream in the night, but he gave it to me in a very specific way. He gave me it through a Vietnamese word for the word way. He gave it to me as duong. He told me that this is a word that I needed to take to a Vietnamese woman. If I gave her this word, she would know what it means. And I had never heard that word before. He spelled it for me, and it wasn't until later I figured out that I learned that it meant the way, and I saw it in the Vietnamese New Testament. So there's just no way that I could not have that be my life verse, because it sums up the power of who Jesus is and how we come to the Father, and that he's the only way.
You know, and the very specific ways that he speaks to us. When we lean in and make it a habit of listening and then responding, I believe we fine-tune our spiritual ears to hear him with even more accuracy, don't you?
Yes, but for me, that was the first time I ever heard his voice. It was so powerful, and it was a great introduction to hearing him speak.
Wow, yeah.
talk
about jumping in with both feet. That's wonderful. Well, you open with an interesting story of how God gave you the title, actually, to this book, Love in the Face of ISIS. Yeah. Here's a subtitle, Seven Powerful Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. Tell us that story, how God gave you that title.
I was in worship in our service, and my friend was leading worship, and my mind was not on this book. My mind was not on this topic, and it was just deposited into my spirit, and I heard Love in the Face of ISIS. I knew that this would be the title for the book immediately, but I wondered if this was something that I had heard before. Was my mind just bringing back to recollection something that I heard? And so I did something I'm not supposed to do. I got on my phone during the service and I started looking at Google and Amazon. And no, it hadn't been, it was not a book. It wasn't a title. It wasn't a blog post. And I just knew, but and that's how the title came to me. And it was a little bit startling because Love in the Face of ISIS is really in your face. And I said, you know, God, why is this the title? And why love? And he just responded to me in my spirit, well, what is love? And who is love? And I immediately knew then that this could be also read as God in the Face of ISIS. And how powerful was that? Was a specific answer.
Well, when you put that in a statement, Lorraine, because we think ISIS, we think fear, dread, we think of cowering, self-protection, oh no. But you put God in the front of that statement, God in the face of ISIS, suddenly not only is the playing field leveled, but it's more than that. And we've got to keep that perspective if we're going to stand in the authority Christ has given us, don't we?
Yes, and it's so important for the people that are listening to understand that this is a book that was directed from the heart of God to me. It wasn't something that I was carrying. It wasn't something that I was thinking about or mulling over. It really was not even on my radar screen. I was just at a writer's conference involved in a practice exercise where the moderator says, you're going to write a premise statement for a book on ISIS in the Middle East. And immediately I had a vision of being seated in heaven, looking at the earth from God's perspective. And I knew this would be a book that would be prayer strategies. How do we pray heaven to earth? How do we see this crisis through his eyes? And after we finished this little exercise, I thought, wow, this is going to be such a powerful book. I can't wait to read it. And I thought, I wonder if I'm supposed to write this book. And what the moderator didn't know is that in just a few weeks from that time, my husband Gabriel and I, we were going to be in the Middle East. We were going to be in Jordan visiting with Iraqi Christian refugees that had fled from ISIS. This was already in the works, but God knew, and he set me up. And so the book is, I hold on to that because this is his heart. He wants the church to pray. He's given us a strategy and a remedy, and that's just been so powerful, me knowing that this wasn't something that I was thinking of. He gave it, just like he gave the title. He wants us to know he's in the face of ISIS, and he gets he gets the victory.
He gets the victory. And just a side note, friends listening, this is why we've done 4 years in a row now, a Christian Writers Contest, and our vision, Lord willing, is next summer to do a conference. Because when you are walking with God and you're listening and he deposits an idea in your heart, look at the ripple effect. And here I sit with Lorraine now. And this book, I pray, mobilizes millions of Christians to start to stand up, I should say, bow down and pray and call on the Lord of Angel Armies. And look at the ripple effect of one woman who dared to listen to God and positioned herself before him. Just got to say that as a side note. That's one of the reasons we want so much, because the power of the pen is so significant. So before we get into some of these prayer strategies, this next few minutes might be unnerving for some as we unpack just the motivation behind ISIS, but we got to do it for the sake of context. So tell us who / what ISIS is really.
Mm-hmm. Well, in a nutshell, ISIS is a splinter group off of Al-Qaeda, which we all came to know from the September 11th tragedy, when they, affected our own home, our country, with the Twin Towers and the destruction. So they're a splinter group off of Al-Qaeda. Even Al-Qaeda has distanced themselves from ISIS as being a radical group that has gone beyond what they would even consider reasonable in their quest for jihad. And their ultimate goal is world domination and having everyone bow down to their interpretation of Islamic theology.
And you write that ISIS is the richest terrorist organization in history. So how are they funded, Lorraine?
Right. Funded through stealing. I mean, stealing from the banking system, just taking over industry through the Jizya tax, which was a tax that was levied against Christians, through ransoms, through kidnappings. I mean, there's no stopping the way that they have been able to raise the funds that they've needed.
Hmm. Now, we have a break coming up in just a moment here, but I want to know if you can give us your best guess. How many people have either been killed or displaced by ISIS?
Wow. That would be so hard for me to know, but I've heard hundreds of thousands. I mean, just the exodus from the major cities were in the hundreds of thousands, and the refugee camps are just overflowing. Countries like Jordan that have taken in over 1 million people, and they've had to close their borders because their country just can't handle any more refugees. So I haven't looked at the numbers lately, but it's mind-boggling.
Wow. Talking to Lorraine Marie Varela. Title of her book, Love in the Face of ISIS. Picture this, God in the face of ISIS. God, who is God Most High, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, General of all generals. When we look at ISIS and feel sick to our stomach because it's very real demonic evil, we've got to look up and see Jesus. And we're going to get some prayer strategies on how to stand in battle, what it means to have authority in Christ, what it means to pray from that place. Got 5 copies. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your first and last name in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. 5 of you will get a copy of this great book. More with Lorraine Marie Varela when we return. Love that song. I got to tell you, there's a bridge there in the song that it says, fear is not bigger than God. Fear is not bigger than God. No way. No way. I'm just telling you, you got to listen to songs like that, that build your faith and remind you that God is still very much on his throne. Really glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to be talking to Lorraine Marie Varela. She's written a book, Love in the Face of ISIS, 7 Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. If you just tuned in, you got to go back and catch the first part of the show. And she really said, who is love? God is love. And so if you think ISIS and you get afraid, you picture this phrase, God in the face of ISIS. Is God bigger than ISIS? Absolutely he is. And we need to keep perspective so we can pray powerfully in this day. And we can't put our heads in the sand. We can't entertain ourselves to death because we don't want to pay attention. This is our day, and it's time to stand up and be counted, all right? So you talked, Lorraine, you wrote about in the book that Christianity actually thrived in Iraq for 2,000 years. Give us a little background on Christianity in Iraq.
Sure. What's so fascinating about the region of the Middle East, specifically where Iraq is located, is that it's the birthplace of Abraham. How many of us knew that? Mm. It's the location where Nineveh was, where Jonah the prophet was sent to speak the word of God. And when he went, the people repented and they turned from their ways and they worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's also the land where Daniel was exiled to, Daniel the prophet. Ezekiel was in Iraq, and also the apostle Thomas was sent there after the death and resurrection of Jesus to bring the good news of the Messiah to the people. And so, where ISIS first came to our attention by taking over Mosul, that is the seat of Nineveh. That is the same location. Very significant. Very interesting.
Wow. In the book, you also tell a story about a time when members of ISIS stormed into a home, demanded the parents renounce their faith in Jesus, or they would kill the children. And the father repeated the words that ISIS had given him to say, and then he felt terrible after. Tell the rest of that story.
Well, he was faced with either he say the words that he would become a follower of Muhammad and the prophet, or his children would be killed. And he didn't have the fortitude to watch his children killed in front of him. And he said the words, and as you said, he ended up with this immense grief for having turned his back on Yeshua, Jesus. Would Jesus still love him? And the fighters did not leave it at that. They came back and demanded the same allegiance from the children, who ended up not choosing to kowtow to their demands, and they lost their lives.
I mean, their actual response is, we can't deny Jesus. It's always been Jesus. Wasn't it something like that?
Right.
Wow.
And that's actually something that I've heard from many of the Iraqi Christians, that Jesus has never left us. He's always been there for us, and we will not turn our back on him.
Boy, absolutely. We can't even fathom the kind of pressure that they must be under. And this is why we need to be praying. Well, say a little bit more, if you would, about the trip you and your husband took to the Middle East. You met with Christian refugees. What did you learn there? Tell us a little bit about that trip.
We were invited to visit some of the Christian refugees that had fled from ISIS living in Jordan through a friendship that we have with an Anglican minister who's lived and worked in Baghdad for over 20 years, or about 20 years. And so through that connection, we were invited to meet these families. What surprised me the most, and I don't know if this was just, this was typical of what we as Americans think, but for some reason I had in my mind that as an American, my life would be very different from somebody who lived in the Middle East. And my husband and I, we'd traveled to the Middle East before, so this wasn't our first exposure to the Middle Eastern culture, but I just had in my mind that their life had to be so different. And I was sitting on a rooftop overlooking one of the cities in Jordan, speaking with this young, probably 30-year-old man, married, had a couple kids, and he shared with me his life story. And the more that he spoke, the more I realized that his life could have been my life or our lives. It was so American, the things that he was saying. He had a business, he was working, he was very involved in life, trying to support his family, he was working hard. And really, he just talked about how he was so wrapped up in the everyday things of life that he forgot his Lord. And he didn't mean that he was turning his back on God, but just that, you know, he went to church on Sundays, but his life was not revolving around his faith in Jesus until this crisis came and hit him full force. And he had to come to terms with his faith in Jesus, and knowing that he was the one to that he needed to depend on.
And I've said this before on the show, Lorraine, but this really, this kind of persecution does boil down your faith. And I just believe in America, so often we hear a watered-down gospel, or it's something that's kind of an improve your life now, appeal to the greed in the consumer. Who doesn't want a better life? Who doesn't? God does give us life abundantly, but this is the cross, and we were destined for hell till the blood of Christ and the victory of Christ on the cross won it for us. And if we're just associating Christianity as a hip social club or a place that's just a good place to be, And that's it. We will not have the fortitude to stand in the persecution that I believe is coming to us in the coming days. Love for you to speak to that.
Yes. Well, you know, it goes back to just my conversation with my new friend, in that he was living somewhat in a bubble. And I feel like we live ourselves. Yeah. We live in bubbles. Like, this cannot touch me. In fact, it was so crazy in that he, when ISIS came onto the world stage, they hit this town of Mosul, which was about a 15-mile distance from his hometown. 15 wow. miles. That's not very far. And he saw the devastation. He saw the influx of the Christians coming into his city needing help. And he helped. He worked with his church, and they welcomed in the refugees. They took care of their needs for food and clothing and shelter. So he was right there in the thick of it, never once thinking that their fate could be his own. And that's something that I just so identified with, is that this bubble that we live in, well, that's their problem. That will never touch me. But yet it was just a 15-mile distance. How could that be? He had faith in his government that said the Kurdish government was protecting his city, and he believed that their city was different. And don't we all think that? Like, well, we're different. You know, this is not going to touch me. But it was midnight, about just, I'm thinking it was like 4 to 6 weeks from the time that Mosul was overtaken, midnight, when the church bell started ringing in his town, and the army that had been protecting them had fled, and they had 5 minutes to gather what they could and flee.
Wow.
And so now here's the one that had done rescuing, needed to be rescued himself. And so his story was just so, so very powerful, and just touches on how we tend to live a little bit with blinders,
yeah,
or thinking, especially for us in America, I think, you know, oh, well, that's over there. How can my prayers make a difference in something that's so far removed? But we have to understand it's really not. We are connected. We're one body, and we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters.
Indeed.
Whether they're here or there.
We've got about a minute and a half before our hard break at the bottom. But just one more word about this. When you think about, too, when we try to set up heaven on earth, I mean, of course we say, may your kingdom come and your will be done. But when we live as if this is all there is, and we try to prop ourselves up in this world, we won't, again, have the fortitude, I think, to love not our lives even unto death. But I feel like our persecuted brothers and sisters know something about the kingdom of God, about eternity. They see life on earth as short, you know, and I want us to be positioned in a way where we can enjoy the freedoms and the blessings of God's hand, but not put our weight onto them to such a degree that we can't see eternity in the face of these threats.
Right.
What do you say?
Right. Well, we need to have a kingdom perspective, and I think that's what God is. He's actually touching our hearts, Susie, to have his perspective. And, you know, if we only look at the negative, if we only look through the horizontal lens, then we're going to have despair and we're going to have fear. But if we challenge ourselves to put our focus upward and see as heaven sees, as God chooses for us to see, so we're partnering with his purposes, we are working with him to see his purposes unleashed. And there's so much freedom in that, and there's so much courage in that, and there's so much power that we have as believers to work with the Lord in that sense.
And do you believe what Lorian just said? Do you believe that there's power in your prayers, that your prayers on earth in your city can affect change on the other side of the world? It can. Your prayers can make all the difference in the world. We're going to unpack some of these strategies on the other side. Title of our book, again, is Love in the Face of ISIS. We've got 5 copies. I wish we had 25 copies to give away. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget, put your name in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. 5 of you will win. I'm praying it's exactly the right people who need this book. Don't go away. More with Lorraine Marie Varela when we return.
Take heart. He has overcome the world. He has overcome the world. Take heart.
Maybe your faith needs a reset today to remember, as I said, God is still on his throne. His promises are still true. He invites us to partner with him in the greater kingdom story. This is why we're talking about what we're talking about today. My guest is author Lorraine Marie Varela, author of the book, I love this book, Love in the Face of ISIS, 7 Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. Love to get a copy into your hands. We've got 5 copies to give away. Get your name in the drawing this way. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your name in the subject line. Give give me your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. Because of the volume of emails we receive, we can't reply to every single one. But five of you in the next week or so will get a copy, and you'll be so happy. Let me read an excerpt. It says here, as you begin to take up this assignment to pray over the crisis in the Middle East, it's crucial that you keep your eyes focused on the one who is love and not let your heart become weighted down by the horrific forces of evil. Through prayer, you're able to assume an offensive position to defeat the enemy as you come into agreement with the purposes of God, the God of love, mercy, and justice. I want you to say a word, if you would, about coming into agreement, because you even say when a person comes into an agreement with the enemy's thoughts over God's directives, the authority actually shifts into his hands. I want to say that again for somebody listening who may have missed it. And Lorraine writes, whenever a person comes into agreement with Satan's thoughts over God's directives, authority shifts hands. Say more, if you would, Lorraine.
Well, it's the same thing. It's what happened in the garden with Eve and the serpent. When God gave a specific command and the serpent challenged the understanding of the command that God gave, Eve ended up in agreement with the serpent over what God said, and she and Adam were expelled from the garden. So it's our words contain so much power, and it seems like it's been this eternal battle in humankind to who are we going to agree with? Are we going to agree with the thoughts of God, or are we going to agree with the thoughts of the enemy? It's just one or the other. And when we bring our words and our thoughts in alignment with God's words and thoughts, then we have the power of him and the authority released.
Oh, that's so good. Okay, let's talk about this one. Pray to release the presence of God.
Yes. Yes. Well, all of these prayer strategies come from the I am directives, the I am names of God. And so this first one is I am the Lord who is there. And when we think about the presence, is God omnipresent? Well, yes, he is. But there's something to be said about having eyes open to the manifest presence of God. I think about when the three young men in the book of Daniel were thrown into the fire and into the oven, and there was the fourth one standing. People could see that fourth manifestation of what I believe was Jesus in the flames with the men, and their eyes were open to an understanding of God is there. Mm-hmm. God is there, and so when God was with them in the fire, God is there now, and just coming to an agreement with his name and releasing his name and his purposes, his character, declaring us his nature and his purposes into that situation.
And it is such a powerful thing to do. In that particular chapter, Lorraine, you tell the story about an ISIS jihadist who heard the statement in a dream, "You're killing my people." And then standing before him was a man dressed in white, and he knew it was Jesus. I know you wrote this a while ago, and so I don't want to reference stories that you go, I think I remember that one, but do you happen to remember that story?
I do remember that story, and it was one where Yeshua, I keep saying Yeshua, I'm sorry, this is where Jesus came to him in a dream. And that is something that we've been hearing so much of. This is one of the primary ways that God communicates to Muslims in the Middle East is through dreams and visions. And one of the interesting things about that is the reason that he uses this as a method of reaching them is that Muslims are very attuned to dreams and visions, specifically if they have a dream that comes from one of the prophets. And in Islam, Jesus is one of the revered prophets. So they listen and they pay attention, even if their understanding of who Jesus is isn't the same understanding that we have as Christians, as believers. He still gets their attention through that.
That's absolutely amazing. He's so wise. Here's another excerpt from Lorraine's book. In the presence of darkness, light shines brighter still. Do you hear that? In the presence of darkness, light shines brighter still. Believers in the Middle East who are surrounded by the cruelty of ISIS need to be comforted and strengthened by the powerful presence of God that dwells in them. Pray that the presence of the Holy Spirit will fill them with courage, that the promise of his presence will result in greater awareness of his spirit at all times, releasing hope in their hearts as their faith continues to expand and grow. And then Lorraine gives an offer of just of how to pray that and release the presence of God. There are sample prayers. There are stories that will build your faith. But this really is an equipping, I feel like, handbook, Lorraine, to get us to have pray strategically and specifically that we would pray, God, may our brothers and sisters sense your presence and be filled with strength. What's the ripple effect? And this may seem like an obvious question, but I just still want you to answer it. The ripple effect if we do pray, and the ripple effect if we don't.
Wow. Well, the ripple effect, first of all, is that we're aligning our hearts with God. You know, Susie, I think about this, the situation where Isaiah was in a vision. He saw God seated on the throne, and he was privy to the conversation in heaven. And he hears the Lord say, "Who will go for us? Who can we send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah hears that, and he says, "Here am I, send me." So the first thing about this ripple effect is it changes our hearts first. It aligns our hearts with God. And he's looking for those hearts that will say, yes, yes, I will go. Yes, I will pray. Yes, you know, that if you're dealing with fear, I'd say the first thing you need to know is that God is touching your heart to pray. Because fear doesn't come from him, and this is why we need to align ourselves with his purposes and let that ripple effect start with us, as we know our prayers then will reach the intended targets as we come into agreement with the Lord.
I don't want you to miss that, what Lorraine just said. If you're feeling fear, God is touching your heart to pray. Why? Because the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. So imagine instead of cowering in the fear, I'm talking to myself here too, turning around and facing it and saying, God, this is not from you, putting it under your feet and walking in a greater level of power, love, and sound mind. How powerful is that? Okay, how about this one? Pray to release the armies of God. Talk about the armies of God and what they accomplish and how we pray into that.
Yes, the armies of God is based on the covenant name of God, Yahweh Sevaot, the Lord of hosts. And it's interesting that the Hebrew word for Sevaot is referencing an army. And so it goes beyond just the armies of heaven, the angelic host. But I believe that the church is also part of that army of God. It also references the Lord of hosts, references the Lord of all creation. It's such a powerful, powerful name. And so when we are inviting the release of the armies of God, we're actually inviting his military strategy to be unveiled, his power to be unleashed, and his rulership over the universe to be demonstrated.
Wow, I'm taking notes. I probably shouldn't do that during the live show. I'm busted. Wow, the armies of God speaks not only of the heavenly host, but of the people of God. On the earth today. So, so good. And you mentioned about the strategy. I think I mentioned this passage on the show once in a while, but that God confides in those who fear him. And then you're saying he actually reveals strategies to those who are submitted to and listening to him. So speak to that person maybe who's not seen themselves as part of the greater army. And what a practical way even that he would reveal a prayer strategy to them.
Yes. Well, as believers, we are the armies of God, and if you've called on the name of Jesus and you've made him Lord and Savior, you have not just the authority to pray according to his will and with his authority, but also the responsibility is such a privilege. And I think that's one of the keys that we miss. We think of prayer as a chore. We think of it as a drag, and yet really it's just connecting our hearts with God and how much more beautiful can that be? I mean, this is on God's heart. He wants his church to rise up in partnership with him. We have that choice. He gives us that choice. He's not twisting your arm, but he's tugging at your heart and asking if you would participate in this way. And it's for our benefit too. It's beautiful.
Indeed it is. So I want you to imagine, friend, as you're praying, that God would release his manifest presence on our brothers and sisters who are persecuted, that God would release the armies of God to intervene in the affairs of men. Imagine just in the spiritual realm, the mobilization happening because you as a person of faith dared to pray and determined to pray. Okay, how about this one, Lorraine? Pray to release the protection of God. Say more.
Protection of God. Well, it's so important that the protection of God is released. Obviously, we saw the need for that when ISIS was first moving in with such rapid force. There was a need for just protecting the innocent. I think of how God uses leaders to protect the flock. And so we're praying for the protection for leadership as well, and having wise leadership and godly leadership in place. and then just protecting through defense. And I have some stories of how God actually intervened in supernatural ways of providing defense when the believers were going through an ISIS checkpoint, and yet they were able to pass through where other people were being stopped and having horrible things taking place. So, and then the protection of God through rescue. How many of the women that we've heard, women and girls that are still enslaved and need to be protected and rescued out of it?
Well, maybe tell a story or two, if you would, of just the divine intervention of God. I think that would encourage our faith today.
There was a family that we met in Jordan who were living in, I believe it was in Mosul, and they had to leave along with, you know, all the other believers. And as they left, they had several young girls, daughters, teenagers, I believe around 17 and 15 and 11 were their ages. And even though that their friends gave them some clothing to blend in, some Muslim garments, they were still stopped at a checkpoint, and the husband was taken out of the car. And so the mom and the daughters were left unprotected in the car, knowing what fate lied ahead of them. And miraculously, the husband was returned to the car minutes later. And although they were robbed and stolen of, you know, their money and some of their supplies, they were allowed to continue on. And that was just a beautiful example of just God protecting them in the middle of a storm.
Remember the story of Corrie Ten Boom sneaking a Bible into the prison camp, and how some way miraculously God shielded that Bible and got it in. You know, it's amazing. Here's another excerpt from your book. You write, "In times of trouble, the need for a shepherd's protection is never more acute. Scripture is filled with testimonies of those who cried out to God in their distress, and he answered their prayer. Prayers spoken in agreement with his will. Prayers that released his response for protection." Absolutely powerful. I want to just read one of the prayers. This one is from the chapter about the armies of God. Just to give you an example of what Lorraine offers you here in this book, just if you don't feel confident in your prayers and you need some kind of guideline, here's a great one. "Thank you, Lord, that you are righteous and holy. I praise you that you're lifted up and exalted above all people, nations, rulers, and powers. There is none like you. Yahweh, there is none like you. Thank you for extending your righteousness to me through my faith in Jesus, cleansing me of all sin. You call me to be holy as you are holy. Increase my faith to believe your promises until great faith rises up and shatters every doubt and thought that does not line up with yours. I join," this puts fire in my belly, "I join with your armies of believers, boldly releasing your purposes here on earth through the power of your name. Where there's darkness, release your light. Where there's evil, release your love. Turn those with the hardest of hearts to look on your face and receive your mercy while there's still time. Father, forgive. You are good. You are good. Make my heart like yours. I declare that all nations of the world will bow in awe and fear of your great name, because the earth is yours and all of it belongs to you. In the powerful name of Jesus, the Lord of hosts, I pray this in agreement with your will in faith. Amen." Isn't that fantastic? Every chapter's got an example of how to pray to release the armies of God, to release the presence of God. When we come back, we're going to talk about what it means to walk in the authority of God. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. What does that mean? Do you understand the authority God has given us? Lorraine will unpack that. Here I am again offering. We've got 5 copies. I know some people who know some people. I might be able to get a couple more. I'm just going to see. So give me an email, would you? Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your name in the subject line. Remember your mailing address, and a good handful of you get a copy of this great book. More when we return. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great conversation with Lorraine Marie Varela, author of the book Love in the Face of ISIS, 7 Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. And we can, on one hand, look at what's going on in the news, look what ISIS is doing, and put our heads in the sand and decide, I'm just going to entertain myself to death. I can't bear all the bad news. Or we can shrink back in fear and let our hearts get hard and afraid. But the third option is the option that we're called to as Christ followers. It's to rise up and be the church. It's to bow low and pray powerful prayers. And Lorraine has really outlined very specific prayer strategies that I really believe will help accomplish much in the greater kingdom story. You touch on this in the book, and I'd love for you to unpack it today. For that person listening, what does it mean to have authority in Christ, and how do we pray from that place?
We see how Jesus gave authority to the disciples to heal people of their sicknesses and to cast out demons. And he gives us that authority to do the works that he did. In fact, he said that we would be doing greater works than he did. So the authority has been given to us through the power and through Jesus's power. And there's such a battle that's going on in the spiritual realm for power and authority. So Satan's looking to reclaim power and authority. It's the ability, power is the ability to control or to influence a situation. And so this has been this ongoing battle that exists between Satan and God for the authority that directs the power.
My goodness. Okay, so we're talking about these prayer strategies, prayer to release the presence of God, prayer to release the armies of God, prayer to release the protection of God. I think I'm missing one here. Can you think of what it is? That's okay. We'll go back anyway. Okay, prayer to release the perseverance for the people of God. Talk about that one.
Well, we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, just that there's such a prophetic significance about the region of the Middle East, and God has a plan for the people that live there. And it's so interesting, in the book of Isaiah, there are many prophetic promises that talk about what will happen with the people that are in the Middle East, that specifically Egypt, Assyria, and Israel. And we read the passages that say that he will recover the remnant. Well, how do you recover a remnant when the remnant is scattered and the remnant is no more? And there is a legitimate need for some believers to flee, to go to safety, to save their lives. But there's also a call for some to remain. And I remember reading some stories of some, I believe they were Catholic priests who just said, and we will stay here until we die because we're called to remain. And there is a remnant that's called to be there and need our prayers so that they have that protection and that perseverance through the middle of this horrific trial.
Wow. Okay, pray to release the provision of God.
Yes. Yahweh Yireh. How many of us can relate to the need for God's provision in our own lives, and how much more can we say that there's that need for provision? You know, this ISIS has created such an immense crisis and a need for humanitarian help. We don't even need to go into all of the areas because it's so evident for food and clothing and sustenance and medical care and all of it. But the interesting thing, Susie, is that as I've been praying through these prayer strategies, I realized that this isn't just about one specific subset of a situation that's happening in the world, but these prayer strategies are representative for all of us in our lives. We can identify with the need for Yahweh Yireh to provide for our needs. And so as we speak this blessing in this life and these prayer strategies for our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, the Lord is also meeting the needs that we have in our own lives, too, as we release his name. It's very powerful.
Indeed, is it ever. Wow. Pray to release the healing of God. Talk about that one.
Yes. Well, there's physical healing, there's emotional healing, and there's spiritual healing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Lord doesn't just look at us as independent. All of those things are wrapped up, and he cares about each one of those areas. You know, when you've gone through such a horrific stories that we've heard, these situations, emotional healing takes time. So we talk about it in the book, about how can we pray for the emotional healing? How can we pray for physical healing for people and stories of how God has physically healed? And then spiritual healing that just comes as well.
You know, I've read stories of Christians who've been displaced in refugee camps and how faith is spreading even there, because they're sort of left alone more so than they were when they were back in their communities.
Yeah.
Not to say we don't pray for healing and peace and provision, but just to encourage the listener today, God is moving in the hearts of these people, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's talk about prayer to release the peace of God.
Yeah, but it's a great way to end the prayer strategies, because to me it just sums up all of it. I mean, when his peace is released, then it just encompasses all of those needs in one. I like the term or the definition for shalom, the Hebrew word for peace. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing added that doesn't belong. And so when we pray for his peace, we're just praying for the totality of God's presence and his nature and his character being unveiled for the people.
Lorraine, because you are a very specific strategic prayer warrior, how do you pray for this nation? Now, I'm sure, as you just said, you can take these same exact strategies and pray them for our nation. But what's on your heart for our country, and how do you pray that way?
Wow. For America, all of it, all of these prayer strategies can be, I pray for our country as well, Susie, because, you know, we talk the prayer strategies for the armies of God, for his righteousness, for leadership, for his peace, for unity, for his presence, for people seeing him as he is. I mean, when we see the Lord as he is, we are changed. And I think that's going to be one of the keys for our nation.
Mm. Wow, appreciate that. I'm wondering if you happen to have your book in front of you, do you?
I do.
Normally we wrap in prayer, and I want to wrap in prayer, but I would love for you to read the prayer on page 92 as we get ready to wrap up. Would you mind doing that for us? I'll give you just a moment to get to it. And while she's turning to page 92, and this is a prayer from the chapter, Pray to Release the Protection of God. I want to remind you again, we've got a good handful of these books to give away. And I just think that as you find a strategic way to pray for the crisis in the Middle East, I know this just as a woman who prays very passionately, that prayer will change you. And it'll change how you show up in this nation, in your relationships. And we say this often on the show, we've got to steward our perspective if we want to respond in love to the Muslims who live in our communities. We'll not just automatically respond in love to them if we're stewarding a fearful, angst-filled perspective. Maybe say a word about that, Lorraine, before we pray. The importance of stewarding our perspective so that when we meet Muslims on the street, they know only God's love from us.
Absolutely. And Susie, I have friends who are Muslims, and I hope that all of our listeners have reached out to the Muslims that are in our neighborhoods and in our communities, because they're here for God places people in our lives for a reason. And we are the hands and feet. We are the love of Jesus. And they need to be able to see that we love them. We love them to the cross to see Jesus as he is.
Hmm. All right. Well, let's, if you don't mind, I'd love for you to read your own prayer from your book, Love in the Face of ISIS.
Yes. Lord, thank you for being Yahweh Roi, protector and defender of the weak. I praise you that you are the God of justice and righteousness. May your fierce protection be released over every person ISIS has targeted with evil intentions, as you defend the innocent with your fiery passion for justice. Surround them with your angels to shield them and guard them from harm. May all persons who are oppressed and persecuted know you intimately as the Lord is my shepherd, the one who is present with them in valleys of deepest darkness and the one who restores their souls. May your authority be their strength and their peace as the comfort of your love takes away all their fear. Break the power of ISIS as you call each fighter to account personally for every act of evil. Bring an end to the jihadist violence as you show them your eagerness to defend your people. You will not be mocked. You say that the violence of the wicked will destroy them because they refuse to do justice. Destroy ISIS. Let your justice prevail. I declare that nothing is too difficult for you. In the powerful name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I pray this agreement with your will and faith. Amen.
Amen. Lorraine, I pray that you'll come back next month and we can talk more about this, because I think it's such an important topic.
That'd be lovely.
I would love it as well. Title of her book again, Love in the Face of ISIS, 7 Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. Email me if you want in on the drawing, and I'm going to make a special request back to the publisher just because it's an arm of my publisher, and so we've got some good relationships there, right? So email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your name in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address, and a good handful, you get a copy of this book.
Take heart, he has. He has overcome the world. Take heart. Ooh. Fear not.
Do you know that you're living and breathing for such a time as this? Oh, dear friend, I pray you would rise up and walk in the authority Christ has given you and pray with the power and the passion He's put in your heart. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be a radio missionary. This is one you got to share. With a click of a button, you can send it out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.